front door just opened and it's you. It's him. I can't open the slider and I slip into your guest bathroom and there's no shower in here and there's no window and I can't turn on the light because what if there's a fan? I close the bathroom door. Was it open when you left the house? And what if you have to pee and this is how it ends? Because we're all slaves to caffeine? Well, you say to him, not to me, and you should be at work. Should we do it? Oh no. This is not a time for you to get closer. Not while I'm so close. He mumbles, and you open a drawer, and you riffle with your hands, and every sound is an engine in my head. Okay, you say. So the contract? I promise to stop nagging you about stupid stuff. Stupid stuff, he says. Can we get a little definition here? Christ, Phil, don't nitpick already. We have to start somewhere. No, you don't, Mary Kay. You can leave. He sighs. Well, all right then, but what do we mean by stupid stuff? You, rat, you are the stupid stuff, and it's hard being a statue holding this mug of piss. Coffee. Coffee. You know what it means, Phil. You were there. The dresser, house stuff. He is silent, and the silence is worse than the engines, because what does the silence mean? Are you making eyes at each other? Are you noticing that the bathroom door is closed when it's usually open? Your voice is flat. Okay, just say it. What's wrong? And don't bullshit me about how it's hard to be vulnerable. This only works if you are vulnerable. I love you like crazy, and look at me in here. The definition of vulnerable. Well, I don't know, he says. I was hoping that stupid stuff was more about... Emmy, for fuck's sake, you know I don't want to go to this movie night thing. And you know I do, Phil. You know I planned it. I know. And I have to go. Emmy, I don't know, Phil. You used to like the way I am.
I like the way you are.
You used to say how you needed me because I plan things, because I care. Because I'm someone who makes the world go round, and now it's like I repulse you.
Em, the guys are only here one night.
Right. Same way they were here last month and the month before.
But they're playing.
And tonight you're busy, as a lot of married men are every once in a fucking while.
See, I try to talk, and you get nasty.
You think this is nasty? You call this talking?
You throw your pen at the window, and thank God you didn't throw it at my door. You lay into him, and you call him out on his bullshit.
Yes,
and you remind him that you are there for him. You take care of him.
My whole life, I go to things alone. Open houses at school because you're sleeping, or birthday parties at night because of your show. And do I complain? No, and I want one night from you, and this is how it is.
Hey now, give me a little credit. I'm on hiatus. Layla said it, Em. You wanted me to take a break from the show, and what did I do? I took a break.
Right, and that's how you want to spend your hiatus. With the guys.
You're crying now. You miss me so much, and you can't take it anymore. You're trying so hard, and he's not trying at all. Patting you on the back, literally, like you're a dog. He's walking now. He picks up the pen and he signs the little unnotarized contract.
I will go to the movie thing, and I will do the dresser, so you don't have to keep asking me to do the dresser.
You sigh, pleased. I think you touch him.
See? You say. We got this. We do.
No, you fucking don't. And he is not going to that movie night. Contracts are like promises, made to be broken. And he grabs his coat so aggressively that he nearly takes down a chair.
Okay, he says. I gotta split. I gotta go to a meeting.
The manipulation, Mary Kay. What he really means is, my addiction is all your fault, just like my life. And it's bullshit. He's the luckiest man on the fucking planet. You blow your nose, probably on a harsh napkin, no Kleenex on your table, and you tell him you're sorry.
But Phil, sometimes it's like you don't remember any of the good stuff. I mean, come on. You know why I chose this movie.
He makes a noise and whistles, and this is TMI. It's obvious that 100 years ago you went down on him in a theater and Alanis Morissette would be disgusted. I'm sorry, but he's just not a very attractive man. But I'm a good guy. It's ancient history, and I forgive you. You were young, and look at you trying so hard to spice up your bland marriage. You really are a fighter, and it's your right to try to save your marriage. I will allow it. I do allow it, because in our relationship, we give each other space to breathe. Like now, you're pushing Phil to leave so that he can go to the hardware store to get a wrench before his meeting, as if you know I need him out of here. You have to get back to the library. You told them you needed to run errands, and your marriage is an errand. And the front door opens and the front door closes, and finally, both of you are gone. I turn on the light and breathe, and what a different kind of world it is with you, Mary Kay. In my old world, I left the mug of urine behind, and it drove me to the brink, to Los Angeles. But in our world, I take the mug with me, and the mug is made of paper. It will disintegrate, and Bainbridge is showing off today. Gray skies turning blue, and I am safe, and there is no urine in this cup. There never was. It's just coffee. And I pour the coffee on the damp ground, always damp, permanently moist. And I recycle the cup, and I like our world, I do. I like the squirrel that sits nearby, and I like the woman in a North Face jacket, and I like her happy black lab, and I am beaming, smiling ear to ear, and this is why people love horror stories. It's not for the gore. It's for the moment when the good guy escapes, just like you wanted him to, because it means that for once on this unjust, dying planet, the good guy wins. I feel inspired. I text your rat. Hey, man, I got a buddy in town, huge fan. We're up at Dock Street, and if the Phil DeMarco showed up unannounced, just saying. 2 hours later, I'm sitting on a picnic table in the woods by the dock when your rat's jalopy comes into view. He gets out of the car, more puffed up than he's been in a while.
Jay, he says. It's your lucky day. Where's your buddy at?
Oh, shit, I say. I should have texted you, but my buddy had to go meet up with some chick he met in the airport. He is a deflated balloon. The poor fucker just tweeted about how much he loves to surprise his Philistines. He lights a Marlboro Red.
No big whoop, he says. Good to get out of the house.
He leans against a tree by my table. That's Phil, always leaning.
You been good?
Yeah, I say. Some shit went down with my mom, but it's all good. Phil feels so sorry for himself right now. He drove here ready to dazzle a fan, and now he has to listen to me talk about my mother, ha. He has no choice but to ask me what happened. Oh, shit, I say. I don't know where to begin.
Women stuff?
I nod, and he snorts.
Try living with one.
Bingo. Hard times with the wife?
I'm in a fight for my life. It's the kind of shit you can only understand if you've been married for 20 years.
Typical narcissist.
We're doing it, you know. We're in counseling. We both made some mistakes. But tonight my boys are in town.
No shit. Where? He withholds the details. For now.
Point I'm trying to make. See, my boys mean something to me, man. And my wife is acting like she's my mother. They do that. They get mixed up in their heads.
Jesus! She won't let you go see the guys?
She wants me to watch a movie with her. Says I have to. I've been a bad boy.
Oh, come on, I say. She married a bad boy. He smiles.
This is true.
I don't know shit about marriage. Yes, I fucking do. But to me, A marriage is kind of like a guitar, right? You need tension in those strings or you can't make any music.
Phil blows a smoke ring.
The protege makes a good point. Yes, he does.
I keep going, Mary Kay. I tell him that you want him to fight back, to be more like the rebel she married. He flicks his cigarette in the woods. Such a fucking asshole. And the suspense might kill me. He blows a smoke ring.
So, he says, how'd you like to meet the band?
A couple hours later, Phil and I are in the city. Free men, ready to rage. He lights a cigarette and I check my inside pocket for my Rachel Ray knife. Of course I brought a weapon. This is the city, and as we all know, cities are not Cedar fucking Cove. He has to check in with Ready Freddy to make sure I'm good to get in, and I check up on you. You're making an Instagram story about getting ready for hashtag date night. The denial is disturbing. And you're dressing up like Winona Ryder in a flowery sack dress. Not your look. And Phil finishes up his call with Ready Freddy and sighs.
Jesus! She's still bugging me about this fucking movie night.
Did you tell her you're not going?
I told her I'm in a meeting, he says. She should know better than to bug me.
We get into an Uber. I order the car, as if it's my honor, and he's lecturing the driver about music.
Huh. I've never heard of Drake.
And the driver will be right to give me a shitty rating. I make sure my phone is on mute and watch a new scene in your Instagram story. You changed into a red bed red t-shirt and pajama pants. Psychic hotline depressed, Winona. You look scared. Defeated. You know he's not coming to play husband. Why don't you just give up? Phil groans.
Another text. Jesus, woman, lay off!
I keep my mouth shut and Phil whistles at the driver.
Hey, man, he says. We're gonna jump out right here.
We're two blocks away from the bar and we're on the sidewalk and Phil tells me to stop. You okay?
Yeah, he says. I just gotta make a quick call.
He leans against a building and he can't call you right now in front of me. I've managed to keep my life with Phil separate from our life, and that's no easy thing in Cedar fucking Cove. If he puts me on the phone to back up whatever bullshit story he's got planned, we die. He's praying.
Don't pick up, don't pick up.
And I'm on his side for once. Don't pick up, don't pick up. And he bounces in his boots.
Voicemail.
He lights a cigarette, and he's a hands-free smoker.
Hey, Em, so listen. My sponsor thinks it's not a good move for me to go on the date night thing. The therapy we're doing is great, but it's a lot on me.
He's not a musician, Mary Kay. He's an actor.
I'm in the weeds, and it's not about the boys. I just can't do a big-ass night with book people. I love you, Em. I can't be your guy. Not tonight.
And then he winks at me.
And come on, you said it. It's just one night. You know if I'm not sober, I'm nothing. Dresser gets done tomorrow, I swear. Love you, babe.
It's a miracle that I don't throw up on the sidewalk. And we walk to the Tractor Tavern. And it's not what I expected, but it's what I should have expected. The goons at the door are right out of central casting and they need dental surgery, and you can feel them hoping they get to bust out the pepper spray. There's a poster that makes big promises. All religions, all countries of origin, all sexual orientations, all genders, we stand by you, and you are safe here. And I bet these guys piss on that sign every night.
All right, Phil says. Let me do some business first. You'll meet the guys after they jam. You don't want to meet them now, when they're all nervous and shit.
I happily hide by the bar like a shy fanboy, and Phil's boys are not happy to see him. This isn't even a real concert. It's a glorified open mic. But the way they suck up the oxygen makes me want to jump on the bar and scream, "You are not Warren Zevon, not one of you!" My phone pings. You added to your story, and the story is a sad one.
Reality Bites is a bust. Only 4 couples showed up, 3 mothballs and 1 we just moved here newlyweds, and none of them are in costume, and there you are in a sleeveless red t-shirt, stuck in the movie without Ben Stiller, without Troy, and you know what? Fuck the fecal-eyed multi-generational family, and fuck the knit skull-cap couple too, because how dare they do this to you? Your rat is begging his boys not to go on stage.
You're gonna ruin our name. The acoustics are shit.
And Ready Freddy is mute, and little Tony does all the talking.
Nothing's ever gonna be perfect.
And the 3 of them remind me of my kittens. Our kittens. The boys head backstage to warm up, and Phil whistles at me like I'm a dog. I obey and follow him toward the stage as he mutters about how the show is gonna suck. One band leads to another band, and you've gone silent in your stories, and it's crowded. It's loud. I read Killing Eve, and I saw Killing Eve, and I could stab your rat with Rachel Ray right here on the dance floor, but if I did that, the management would have to take down the sign that promises safety inside. I'm not heartless. I don't want the tractor staff to suffer for Phil's crimes. He elbows me and screams into my ear.
See that bass player dancing? Fucking A, man. Never trust a bass player who sways his hips. You feel the music in your hands, not your hips.
I check my phone. No more scenes in your story, and you really did give up. I bet you're home by now, crying as you pack his trash bags and throw them out the window. I deserve a fucking break, so I tell him I need a drink and fight my way through the crowd. The bartender screams in my face,
"What do you want?"
He takes my card and I order a vodka soda, and he's slow and the glasses are plastic, and I look up and no, it's you. You're here, less than 20 feet away in your costume, and my plan backfired. The rat will want you to meet his fanboy, and the bartender has my credit card, and you are hugging little Tony, and the band is covering 1. I did all of this for you, and you came here to forgive that fucking rat, and now you turn around and shit, Mary Kay. Do you see me? Chapter 28. You didn't see me. Right? Right. I slipped out the door and caught an Uber to a ferry, and I made it home and I took care of myself because no one takes care of me. Now I blast the U2 song on repeat on my sound system. Sorry, cats, but Dad needs this right now. And I sit in the shower in a ball of nudity, like David Foster Wallace in The Asylum, except nobody's watching me because I'm not special. I'm not a writer. And I'm not a rock star, and I saw a side of you I've never seen until tonight. You love being with the band. You're probably mounting your rat right now, and I put on my pants and I throw on a t-shirt, Nirvana, and you worry about becoming your mother? Well, I am my mother, blasting my music and slamming cabinets and wiping my hands on Kurt Cobain's face. You think Phil is special? Well, I am not a rock star, but I am special. I'm special because I actually take responsibility for my actions. I don't live my life on a wagon and make you think it's your fault every time I fall off. I'm special because I've never even done a line of cocaine, let alone heroin. And if you knew anything about my fucking childhood, you'd know that I'm the special one, not him, me. You are changing in my mind, and it hurts, but I can't stop it. Even your office looks different to me now. You sit in there and look at pictures of Whitney Houston, buried, and Eddie Vedder, married, because you like to love special people from afar. I was your star, volunteer of the month, and I was your rock, fiction specialist, and how come I don't know how to make you see that I am the special one? You don't just love me, do you? I keep seeing you in that bar, hugging Phil's boys. I'm not a star, and I'm not your star, and my doorbell rings. Fuck you, Oliver. And I ignore it, so now the asshole is pounding on my door, and he has some nerve, and I will knock his materialistic head off. Fuck it. You don't love me. Why bother trying to be good? And I open the door, and it's not Oliver. It's you. Bono wonders aloud if he asked too much, and you tossed your Winona red bed t-shirt costume. You're back in your trademark tights, and your arms are two bare branches, no leaves. You're here. Did you see me at the tractor, and am I about to get run over, bitten by reality? And why aren't you saying anything, and what do I do? And then you open your mouth.
It's over, Joe. I did it. It's done.
I can't speak. I just said goodbye to you because you went to Phil, but now you changed your mind. You've come to me. You throw your arms around me and I lift you up and your legs are vines growing into me, onto me, and the recording of this song is bombastic, live. There are strings in an orchestra, superior to guitars, and it is opera, it is rock, it is you, loving me with your whole body, not just your fox eyes, but your paws and your toes and your fingernails and your lips, both sets. Shoes are off. Tights are shredded, and I deliver you to the red bed, and this time there is no hesitation, no boundary, no sit. This is your one life, and we are one, and you are my soulmate, wet and warm, and I am inside of you, reborn. I shake, you shake, and we are virgins who know what we're doing. We are teenagers in a car. There is steam on the windows all around us, and your Murakami is below, and then it is on top, and I am a boy, and I am a man, and you are a girl, and you are a woman. We are reverberating, multiplying. You are coming. Oh, this is a big one. And you are special. You know how to touch me. Oh, God, Joe. Oh, God. And I am special. You taught me how to touch you. And then we finish.
Oh, God, you say. Oh, God, Joe.
We are alive and dead, and you just keep saying the magic words.
Oh, God, Joe. Oh, God.
As you tell me, you felt me in your toes, in your eyeballs, in the hairs in your nostrils, and in the lining of your stomach, and you are funny and gross, and it just comes out. I can't help it. I love you, Mary Kay. You don't miss a beat.
I love you, Joe.
The L words drag us down. Heavy is the music that makes it okay for us to be wordless, and I can't tell if that's your heart or my heart, and I know you love me and I know I love you, but it didn't need to be said. The kittens know we're finished, and they're making the room theirs again. You laugh and blow a kiss to your favorite, and you roll into me and your eyelids hit mine. Your nose, too. You're so close that I can't see, that I can see. You aren't getting closer anymore. You are closest.
Joe?
I know, I say. I'm sorry. We can forget I said it. We can not say it. You wrap me up in your branches, and you say there is no need to be sorry, and you kiss my hair, you kiss my head, and you say you wish you could reach inside my body and kiss my liver and my kidneys, and I squeeze your ass. You are my own little Hannibal Lecter, and you laugh.
You are sick.
And I laugh. Okay, Hannibal. And you tell me you wanted Hannibal and Clarice to get together, and I tell you I did too, and you sigh.
I wish I could understand why Nomi can't let go of Klebold.
Do you remember when it started? You sigh.
Maybe it's because I used to joke that Hannibal Lecter is my book boyfriend, which is evidence for my Worst Mother Ever award. In the middle of the night, I get fired up. I'm going to drag her to a therapist, going to full-on intervene, but in the morning, I don't have that urgency. I should probably do something, but I just want it to go away on its own.
It will, I say. Don't forget that she's yours. You made her. Same way I made my son. And you're right to trust the day. Nights make everything worse. You tell me I'd be a good dad, and I am a good dad, and you laugh.
Wait, is this song on repeat?
You love me so much, you didn't notice the music until now. And I tell you I'm weird, and you tell me I'm passionate. The song ends, and it begins again. And the audience cheers, and it sounds like 100 candles lit in the dark. And the solo twang of the instrument leads to more cheers, and the people in the audience sing along, and we sing along too, in our own way, with our bodies that we already know by heart. Chapter 29. We are 3.5 weeks into our show, The Office, NC-17, XXX. I am on my hands and knees, and I am wiping down the red bed, and you are 10 feet away, clothed, tights on, professional. But that's not how you were last night. Oh, Mary Kay, I read about this kind of sex, and I thought I had had this kind of sex, but I was wrong. Your Murakami is my favorite place on the planet. Your buns have given way to ponytails. You had to do something to express the new love in your life. And we are a secret for now, and there is nothing more fun in this world than a really good, juicy fucking secret. I walk outside to go to Starbucks, and Oliver is on my tail. A buzzkill. A housefly. FYI, he says, it's illegal to fornicate in a public library. I don't kiss and tell, and I don't fucking tell, but Oliver is no dummy. We all know when our friends are getting laid. So call the cops, Oliver, or arrest me. Can you do that? Or is that just some police academy bullshit? He stops walking. She has a husband. And he slept with her best friend. Oliver is an Angelino, so this doesn't land the way it should. He slept with her for 10+ years. Yikes, he says. And the kid? Does the kid know? About the affair? Hell no. Oliver, it's fine. They've had problems for years. The kid's on her way to college. It's really hitting me, Mary Kay. Spring has sprung, it's drizzling, but the rain has purpose. Flowers are blooming, and we really are on our way. If he loses his shit and kills you, he's not that type of guy. And the woman he had the affair with, well, you've seen her, sort of. Once in a while, I like to remind Oliver that he knows where a woman is buried, and it's like those cartoons where you can see his blood pressure rising and then he coughs. He shifts. He tries to be the boss of me. You say this, but I listen to this Sacrifil stuff, my friend, and there's a lot of violence in there. Exactly. He's a musician. He has drug issues. He beats himself up, not anyone else. Oliver yawns. All right. He says, I sent you some Ames chairs. How many fucking chairs can you fit in that place? He's placated, and I carry on to Starbucks, and I buy his stupid chairs, and I buy myself a frappuccino because it's all finally happening. Your rat has moved into your junk room, where he sleeps on a futon. He doesn't even get a mattress, but then he did fuck your best friend. And we have to take baby steps because of the meerkat, but soon you and the rat will be like Billy Joel's Brenda and Eddie, divorced. You really are getting a divorce as a matter of course, and it begins with an indoor separation, behind closed doors so that Nomi can get used to the idea of you two moving apart. You're feeling good about it because Nomi is doing better.
She says she saw it coming, and I guess in a way she's lucky, because with my parents, I was floored.
And I'm so happy for you, and the meerkat. For us. Naturally, Phil isn't being a very good sport. You told him that you can't forgive him for bailing on you that night, and he's filling the blues in a major way. Last night he spent the whole show ranting about how Courtney Love should be behind bars because she murdered Kurt Cobain, because he knows better than to lash out at you, and even the Philistines who called in were annoyed.
Phil, man, just play some damn music.
Phil, man, you know you'd be up there with Nirvana if the world was a fair place. Can you play Sharp Six?
Phil, man, when are we going to get a new album?
He ignored the requests and degraded himself further. accosting Eric Crapton for writing about tears in heaven.
As if the only hell on earth is losing a child. As if the pansy's ever been to heaven.
Oh, you should have heard him, Mary Kay.
I have a daughter, man. And don't get me wrong. I'd die if something happened to my kid, man. If someone harmed her. But Eric Clapton walks around like he cornered the market on sorrow. And no, he didn't. The guy's still going. Still living. Got a wife in a big rehab resort in the Bahamas or some shit. And let me tell you a little something about the blues, man. The blues are blue. Not blue as in the Bahamas. They're midnight, man. Real blue shut you down and shut you up. Trust me. I know.
Obviously, if he really was in a Springsteen kind of blue, in the grave of his mind, he wouldn't have the energy to pontificate. He's just in whiny dick mode. Jay texted him to check in, and he was rude to Jay.
No offense, man, but someday if you have a family, you'll understand that family shit eats up the time. Peace out. I'm in the zone writing.
It worries me to think of you under the same roof as him. But you're right. He's the father of your meerkat, and these things do take time. And I didn't kill him, Mary Kay. You love me so much that I don't have to kill him. You chose to end it with him, and that's why I'm lying low. Why I just have to be patient and listen to you. To the sweet things you say to me all day. You're selling your house and you're talking to real estate agents and you're using the D word on a regular basis.
The irony is that Melinda was sort of right. We were holding each other back and who knows, if she never left, maybe I never would have gone through with a divorce. I spoke to an attorney in the city. He thinks it's going to be quicker than that other woman I spoke to, and he had good candy.
I am yours. And you brought me candy from the divorce attorney's office, and you left it in my backpack because, once again, it's a secret. All of it. Us. I popped the red and white old-school candy into my mouth. And I don't have a jacket. It's getting warmer all the time, as if Mother Nature is so excited that she can't sleep. And I head out the door, and we have the night off. You have to see your friends. But it's a small island, and I'm a restless man. With great sex comes energy, so I go for a walk, and I pass by 11, and it's not my fault that place is all windows, and it's not my fault that our attraction is the invention of electricity, and you see me. You catch my eye and wave, and I wave, and we don't text. We are too good in person, and we know what we have is special. So you have to wait until the next day to see me, to tell me what I did to you. You lean over your desk in your office.
Buster?
That's me.
When you walked by last night, it was like my body and my mind and my soul. I know I'm probably not supposed to say this to you, but I have to say it because it's all I can think about.
I was right. This is an everything ship. Not that we need a silly name for what we are. I didn't sleep a wink. You smile.
Oh, come on. Yes, you did. People always say that they didn't sleep, but everyone sleeps a little. At least a couple of hours.
This is why I love you, and I laugh. Okay, I was up most of the night, just sitting on my couch, literally doing nothing but thinking about you. Except for the part where I was listening to your husband's show. But I admit, 4 to 6, that's a little blurry. I might have slept some. You beam at me.
Good,
you say.
This is good, because I slept a couple hours too, and, well, I like the idea of being in sync with you, Buster.
It's not my imagination. R.I.P. Whitney and Eddie are sparkling for us. I Windexed them for you. And you can't touch me, not right now. You wave a hand.
Get back to work.
And the day is long. It's a sidewalk that will not fucking end. Sorry, Shell. And the bass throbs in my head. Hari Mary Hallelujah. Because as it turns out, you are my true savior. The reason I'll be in such great shape when my son comes to find me. The reason that for the first time in my fucking life, I feel excited about my future. Do good and you get good, and the day ends and Oliver's running out of wall space and you wish me a safe trip home as if there is any danger, as if anything could hurt me now. Eventually, night falls. I go for a walk up Madison, and what a different world it is, knowing that we'll be in that movie theater, at that diner, walking these streets until our bodies break down on us. I reach the library and take the steps to our love seat in the garden, and what do you know, Mary Kay? The door to the lowest level is open. You didn't lock up. I walk into the library, and there you are on the red bed, as promised, naked. You want my hand on your neck, and you want my other hand above your Murakami, not on it, not yet, and the silence is deafening. Equal parts sex and love, and after we finish, we are mute. And then it's time to play.
Okay,
you begin.
We would need chainsaws.
And a truck.
And a dolly.
A few dollies, Mary Kay. This thing is big. This is our plan. We're going to steal the red bed. I squeeze you. Do you know about secular hymns? You nuzzle your head into my chest, and your hair is a scarf, a blanket, a godsend.
You mean songs about religion that aren't quite about religion?
Yes.
Then yes, I know about secular hymns.
Well, I really like them. I think it's because my parents were messed up about religion. A little Catholic, a little Jewish. And my whole life, music was the thing for me. The thing that made me feel connected to something larger. Especially secular hymns, or songs that have that theme about the collapse into the dark and the climb back into the light, you know? Where you remember that you can't have the rise without the fall. You kiss me twice, and then you speak into the hairs on my chest.
Hallelujah, Joe. I know exactly what you mean.
I kiss you. Being with you? It's like it turns out that there really is a crescendo. And it isn't just about sex. You hold on to me and you are perfect.
I know,
you say.
The sex is, yeah, but it's like the magic is real, as if you really did pull a coin out of my ear.
I get it, Hannibal. Your hands are on my head, on my temples, and you purr.
Can I kidnap you and lock you in a basement, Clarice?
If you insist, I say. But a little hint. The best way to kidnap someone and lock them in a basement is to not give them a heads up about your plan. You pinch my ears, and I move my mouth along your body, down, 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 where I pull a rabbit out of your hat, your Murakami, your soul.
Chapter 30.
You pulled it off. You took a personal day. I love that you didn't call it a sick day. And you told me to be in the parking lot of Fort Ward at 11 a.m. We take separate cars, secret lovers, and I get here first. I wanted to make sure that R.I.P. Melanda is still sleeping. She's right where I left her. And it's not the easiest way to start a romantic day in the woods, but when is anything good ever fucking easy? I am leaning against Nomi's dollhouse roof shack when I see your car. The mere sight of you gets me going, and I am wearing a backpack. I really am Cedar Cove Joe. And you were nervous that we would get caught, but there are only two cars in the lot. One is a truck with a trailer. Those people are out on their boat. And the other is a family truckster with Oregon plates. We are safe. And you are in clothes that are new to me. There are stars on your tights, a galaxy in between them, and a long, soft black pullover, a mirror to my black sweater. You say hello when you hear a branch snap, and your pupils dilate, but it was nothing, just the woods. You're a little nervous, this makes sense, and I don't take your hand. We're in a parking lot. But I hold on to your eyes. We're okay, I say. And remember, if anyone does see us, we just bumped into each other on the trail. My words mean something to you, and you nod. Well, the bunkers are up the hill. But since you're the first-timer...
Hardly. My night with Melinda is unforgettable.
Do you want to take the long way or the short way?
What do you think, Mary Kay? You are red, hot, in love.
Okay, you say. Long way it is.
You look up at the roof.
Noma used to love this.
Right, I say, wondering if the door is locked. If it would be too much for us to just go at it right here, in the shed. She told me about that when we were doing the tech help session.
Come on,
you say, and you're right, Mary Kay. We can't have sex in a house that reminds you of your daughter, and we are moving up the hill, on the paved path, and I wonder if the blanket I brought is big enough, and you blurt,
Hey, do you believe in heaven?
Sometimes, I say. Do you?
Sometimes,
you say.
It's more like you lose someone. You want to think they found something new, something they couldn't find here, you know?
I picture R.I.P. Beck in a clean, well-kept home, finally finishing a book, and I see R.I.P. Candace writing songs about how she would do it all differently, and I smile. I hear you, I say. I think heaven is a great idea.
Who did you lose?
R.I.P. Candace, Benji, Peach, Beck, Henderson, Fincher, Delilah. No one yet. I'm lucky that way.
Yeah,
you say.
But let's get down to it. Do you believe there's more than all this, or do you think that when we die, that's it?
What do you think?
No,
you say.
I'm not falling for that trick twice.
You nudge me, and you want to know me as badly as I want to know you. Well, I think it's like Santa Claus.
How so?
When I was a kid, I didn't believe in Santa because I knew no matter how many flyers I left out on the table with the G.I. Joes circled in red, I mean, my mom flat out said, you're not playing with dolls.
Oh, Jesus.
I tell you that she was a piece of work, and a crow flies overhead, and I wonder if she's dead. The thing is, I say, I remember that moment, you know, when you're starting to understand the world. And you see some kid at the playground, and that kid's actively trying to be good because that kid actually believes in Santa. But then you see his mom and his snacks and his brand new sneakers, and it's like, well, of course that kid believes in Santa. Santa shows up at his house. He has reason to believe, and I guess I always had reason to question things. You link your arm through mine. You don't care about anyone seeing us, not anymore. And you don't push me for all the gory details about my shitty childhood. You know that I need your warmth, and you give that to me, and then you sigh.
For me, it was Glamour Gals.
I saw those dolls on your Instagram. I love that I can say this to you, that there's no implication that I'm stalking you, and this walking, this talking, this is my reward for being a good man, even though the world wasn't good to me when I was a boy. You're telling me about Glamour Gals.
The worst dolls you can imagine, no jobs, just ball gowns and big hair.
And then your grip on my arm tightens.
So here's one nice thing about my husband.
Ex-husband, and this is our date, not his, but you are you. Always thinking. Always yeah. What's that?
Well, that shack with the roof. Nomi wanted it for Christmas, and she wouldn't let it go, and we told her we can't steal a roof, and it was driving me nuts all month because I kept asking her what she wanted, and it's the roof, the roof, the roof. And Phil's kind of checked out all month, but then Christmas morning, he drags this giant present out of our shed. I mean, the man had never touched wrapping paper in his life. And there it was. Nomi's roof. He had the grass. He even planted a few tiny flowers on it. And it wasn't just a present for her. It was a present for me.
My heart is turning white,
and it used to be red, and this is our date, and you're staring at the sky when you should be staring at me, and I can't go back in time and build Nomi a fucking roof, and she's too old for that now, and you take a deep breath.
Okay,
you say.
I know that was weird just now.
It's not weird. But your arm isn't linked through mine. You stop walking and you're stiff. You're going to tell me you can't leave him because of one nice fucking thing he did 100 fucking years ago on a holiday, which doesn't even count because everyone gets off on doing nice things on holidays. Glorified fucking Sundays when men get trophies for emptying the dishwasher, or building a dollhouse as if one good deed makes up for being an invisible, non-present, selfish, drugged-up asshole every other day of the goddamn year. But then you take my hands.
Joe, I can't pretend he doesn't exist.
You pretended I didn't exist. I know that.
And I don't want to make him out to be the bad guy or anything.
He is. Absolutely.
And I don't want to check myself every time I think about him because, you know, one of these days, in theory, you'll meet him.
Already did. I know. My heart is pounding, and R.I.P. Melanda is in the whisper room in the sky, and your husband is not. He really is here, and I really will have to meet him, and I really do need to tell you that I already did meet him, and at least, if I tell you right now, you can't run away because we're alone in the woods, on a trail.
And all my stories? Well, this is the weird thing about us. I made up this other version of myself the first time we talked on the phone. When I talked about me and Nomi, about our life, I erased him. But most of my adult life, he was there or he was nearby. He's a part of all my stories, and I don't want to lie to you anymore. And I don't want you to shut down on me every time I say his name.
Most marriages end in divorce, and most women don't want to praise their vile ex-husbands, but you're not most women. You're sensitive. Don't be ridiculous, Mary Kay. You guys have a lot of history together, and I get it. You kiss me.
You are fucking amazing, Joe Goldberg.
Yes, I am. Phil ruined enough already, and this day is ours, and we're walking again. Lighter on our feet, and I smack your ass, and you jump. You liked it. I tease you that this is hardly what I'd call a hike. And you tell me the hill is going to get steeper, and I tell you I don't believe you, and you're flirting up a storm, and then my phone buzzes. Fucking Oliver. You glare at me.
Come on, really?
It will only take a second.
I turned off my phone before I got out of the car, Joe.
I didn't know.
Well, that's why I like to hike, because for me, you turn off the devices and are just in the moment, you know?
I turn off my phone, and you smile.
Good.
But then you pull a Polaroid camera out of your purse, and I tell you that you're cheating, but you are a sly fox.
This is different,
you say.
It's not a communication device. Say cheese.
I hate having my picture taken, and Melanda is in the trough in the backdrop, and the world is full of murder podcast people who want to think the worst of people, and I see a headline from hell. Accused murderer says cheese in front of the spot where he buried local feminist. But I didn't fucking kill her. I really didn't. And you snap a picture and whistle.
Now that was a real smile.
Life is for the living. It's a well-known fact. And on we go, and you are my tour guide, telling me about the origins of the bunkers that are right around the bend.
They built a base here over 100 years ago. It was the last line of defense for the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
Pressure much? You smile like a teacher intent on finishing her lecture.
This was a lookout, and soldiers watched for any warships entering the sound. And then it was a camp for needy kids.
And then it was a place for us to fuck.
And then it was a camp for sailors.
You glimmer at me the way you did that day when you were pushing Murakami on that old man, and I want school to end. Now. You really know your Fort Ward, Mary Kay.
No questions just yet,
you say.
See, it really gets interesting in 1939.
This was a radio base where they intercepted messages about the war, trying to protect us from an attack. But then they shut all that down in the 50s.
You scratch your head in your head, but you make eye contact to make sure that I'm in there too. And I am.
Well,
you say,
that concludes my lecture, but I love it here because it reminds you of how things change and don't change all at once. I mean, look at these fucking bunkers.
You jump onto a step and I join you, and I do what you want. I look at these fucking bunkers. They're still here, I say.
Yeah,
you say.
Bunker rhymes with hunker, you know? That's what I thought for a long time, that I had to be like those soldiers, you know? Hunker down in the bunker in case something bad happens, and well, here we are.
I kiss you, but you deflect and grab my hand like we're in high school, and you just have to show me your favorite graffiti, God Kills Everyone. And I cringe at the big brown poop emoji, and you don't like that either, and you show me what you do like, the lower levels of the bunkers. And I squeeze your hand, and you squeeze right back.
I knew you'd get it.
Well, of course I get it. I get you. There is no more getting closer. Finally, we are there, here. The sidewalk ended, and the pavement gave way to dirt, and your hair went from a bun to a ponytail to a mane that runs down your back, and you lead me down steep, deep steps into a little square cave, and it's a filthy, musty, rectangular hole in the ground, and you pull off your black sweater and sigh.
Well, city boy? Tell me there's a blanket in that backpack.
We did it. Your favorite place is now my favorite place, and we've had sex in the bunker at Fort Ward, and we feasted on beef and broccoli. I came prepared. And we passed out and woke up and did it again and went back to sleep, and the floor is fucking concrete, and isn't that how you know you're in love?
Come on,
you say.
I can play hooky, but I can't disappear.
You want to know where I had sex in high school, and I tell you about a guidance counselor, and you're mortified, but I assure you she wasn't my guidance counselor, and you're still a little mortified, and I let you take more Polaroids, and I take some of you, and we reach the parking lot, it's just us, and I want to tell you this was the best day of my life. You hand me the pictures.
You should probably hang on to these.
I unlock my car, and you unlock your car. You grab your phone and turn it on, and I turn on my phone, and you sigh.
I'm so glad we did this.
Me too. Your phone comes back to life, and my phone comes back to life, and my news is no news. Oliver wants more Ames chairs, and Shortus wants beer, but your news is bad news. I know because you're listening to a voicemail. I know. Because you gasp and turn away. Mary Kay? You thrash an arm at me. Bad sign. Did someone see us? You drop your phone onto the pavement, and you turn around, and all the red I put into your cheeks is gone. You are white as R.I.P. Melanda, and do you know? You scream at the sky, and is it your father? Did he have a stroke? I reach for you, but you crumple to the ground, and your voice is a horror movie, and your hands are in your hair, and then you say it, barely, yet loudly.
Phil, he's gone. I wasn't there, and he's gone, and know me.
Phil, fuck. I reach out to you, and this time you don't just flinch. You shove me away and you run to your car, and you are in no condition to drive, and you can't even get the door open, but you warn me to stay the fuck away from you right now. Why, Phil? How? And you are too mad for motor skills, and you throw your backpack at your car, and you look at that roof, and all the rage transforms into sadness. You are sobbing. And then just like that, it turns back into rage. You point a finger at me.
This day never happened. I wasn't here.
It's not a request. It's an order. It's a sit. He's gone. I am in shock. I didn't do it. But the way you peel out of here and leave me in the dust, it's like you think I did. Chapter 31. Here's my problem with wakes. You lay out all these finger sandwiches, all these pizzas from Bene, and then you glance at me as I'm biting into a tiny slice of the coppa, best on the menu, and you look away as if what I'm doing is somehow disrespectful to your dead husband, because now that he's dead, he's the best husband, the best father, the best man. I'm alone at the buffet because I don't have a date. You're his widow. And I spit my pizza into the napkin, and what a waste of food. And okay, so he made your daughter a Christmas present, and it took time, a whole lot of precious time. But your living room is a hotbed of lies, and fuck you, R.I.P. Phil. How could he do this to us, Mary Kay? You were doing so good, leaving him behind, and Nomi was doing so good. She saw the divorce coming a mile away, but that rat fucker had to ruin everything. He didn't get T-boned by a truck on his way home from writing. No, your lazy, selfish, soon-to-be ex-husband had to go and overdose in your house. Your daughter had to come home and find him. And nobody will say what we all know. He knew his way around drugs, and he was jealous of Kurt Cobain, who died of an overdose in his house. You're a woman, so of course you feel like it's all your fault. You're wrong, Mary Kay. Dead wrong. You should be disgusted, and maybe deep down you are, but how would I know? You haven't spoken to me since you fled from the parking lot at Fort Ward. We said, I love you, and we were having sex on an increasingly regular and exciting basis, but now we are fucked. Nomi's fucked, I'm fucked, you're fucked, and Lazy Phil's dream came true. He's a dead rock star, possibly lounging in heaven reading his obituary in Rolling Stone. Remember when you asked if I believe in heaven? And all I can do is stand here in the corner of your living room, dipping a triangle of pita bread into what's left of the garlic hummus. Will I ever hold you again? Will you ever smile again? I glance at you. You're wiping your nose on a napkin while a mothball pats your back, and your dead-eyed daughter is just sitting on a chair, not touching the little sandwiches on her plate, and the outlook for us is grim. And fuck you, Phil DeMarco. Fuck you, all the way back to the day you wormed your way into this unjust world. You shouldn't feel guilty, and I don't feel guilty, Mary Kay. Sure, I bought M30s for him. It was a particularly dark moment in our courtship, but Oliver took them away. And yes, I bought heroin for Phil. I put heroin in his room because heroin was, the devil he knows. But I'm a rational person. I know that your rat didn't die because of me. He didn't even die from a heroin overdose. He died because he drove to that shithole in Polesbo and picked up some of those poisonous M-fucking-30s all by himself. I didn't kill Phil, and you didn't either. But you're saying it again right now, telling that sympathetic mothball that you pushed him over the edge. I want to storm through these mourners and grab your shoulders and tell you to stop it. People get divorced every day, Mary Kay. There's nothing scandalous about it, and your rat was a brat. He couldn't wait until he was living in some shitbox too old to be called a bachelor pad to jump off that wagon? Nope. He swallowed those pills in this house. All he had to do was drive to the Grand Forest, or one of the countless places on this island where people go to do bad things. It turns my stomach, Mary Kay. Even Oliver cringed and made aggressively passive-aggressive remarks about my being the other man. I told him to read the basic fucking text and learn that recovery is an uphill battle. That no one is to blame, especially not me. He cut me off and told me that my body count on this island is up to 2. Bullshit. I killed no one. What Phil did to this family is terrible, Mary Kay. I could never do something like that. Neither could you. Now you pull at your hair. How did I miss it? And I want to comfort you. I've been trying to comfort you for 3 days now. But you always shiver and turn away, as if you wish I were dead, me, the one who made you happy. I know, life isn't fair, but just once, I wanted love to be fair. I did everything right, everything, and now I'm losing you, aren't I? You knock over someone's glass of beer and you snip.
Damn it, Lonnie, there are coasters!
Lonnie apologizes and you're crying again.
I'm sorry, I'm so mad I could kill him.
Lonnie says that's natural, since when is nature a synonym for good? And she's encouraging you to let it all out and know. You know better, Mary Kay. You don't want to kill him because you read his favorite fucking book and I read it too. We both know that addiction is a disease and that these friends, you've never mentioned Lonnie, not once, they're not on your side. They're not helping, and if anything, they're making it worse by validating every mistruth you speak, and in that way, they're like Phil's fucking family. What a bunch, Mary Kay. His mother and father are already gone, as if they have somewhere else to be, and the brother never even came. Classy. According to the obituary, the brother is a well-known life coach, which might be why he couldn't afford a fucking plane ticket. Well known is code for 21,000 followers, and Tony Robbins he is not, and I want things to go back to normal. I want Phil's parents to get on a plane and go back to Florida. Maybe they'll leave tomorrow. They didn't show up at your wake party tonight. We're mourning privately, but oh fuck you, Phil's family. Nobody likes hospitals and nobody likes funerals, but we all know that sometimes you have to suck it up and go. And if they were decent people, you might not be quite so bad off. You're so guilt-stricken that you're rewriting history and hiding behind your invisible, brand new rose-colored glasses.
He really was amazing.
Oh, come on, Mary Kay.
People don't realize he gave up his career to be home.
Lie. He couldn't get along with his bandmates and he had songwriter's block.
He was the best dad. We had all these great day trips to Seattle.
That's another lie. He was your teenage son storming off to play with guitars while you and the meerkat wasted money on tchotchkes. You blow your nose into a cocktail napkin.
And I just should have known.
The mothball takes you in her old lady arms and you're weeping again. And now I feel guilty for being so hard on you. I know it's hard to lose someone, but Jesus Christ, Mary Kay, you should lean into your rage because you're right to be mad. Addiction is a disease, yes, but he was a husband and he was a father, and instead of getting help, instead of taking care of himself so that he could stay alive for his daughter, he jumped off the wagon. You slip off to powder your nose, poor choice of words, considering, and you cry more. You know it was a poor choice of words, and the meerkat is still in a coma on the sofa, staring at you. She's not crying. She can't cry because you won't stop crying. I grab another slice of Bene pizza, a bigger one this time, and I fold it in half and pop the whole fucking thing in my mouth. Shortus elbows me.
Sup? Where you been? I haven't seen you at the gym.
That's Shortus for you. We're at a fucking funeral luncheon, and he's talking about crossbore. He picks up a celery stick and chomps.
Don't be letting yourself go, he says. Don't want to wind up like this guy.
The insensitivity of this poor dolt, and I pick a red pepper flake out of my mouth. It's just a little pizza.
You ever try it?
He asks. And then he drops his voice to a whisper.
Heroin?
No, I say. You?
I never would, he shudders. I don't get it. Don't these people know about endorphins? Honestly, don't they know about sex?
It's the worst thing to be forced to imagine right now. Shortus sticking his Shortus inside some toned, nerve-endingless crossbore addict, and it's a reminder that 3 days ago, in another lifetime, I was one of the happy people on this planet. I was having sex with you. I scan the room and you're not back, and in the library, you never slip out without letting me know where you're going. You're crossing over, and it's like I don't exist, like you don't want me to exist, and the meerkat isn't on the couch anymore. She's gone, too. I pick up my plastic glass of 11 winery wine. I hear you, I say, because I learned my lesson, and I won't waste my time debating with another stubborn, irrational dog. I'm going to get some fresh air. You're not in the powder room, and I can't go upstairs. We're still a secret. Even if you haven't kissed me or talked to me since you deserted me at Fort Ward, and I step out the side door because maybe you are smoking. You did that with the rat long ago.
Hey.
It's the meerkat, and she's smoking, ripping on her bong. Know me? I say. I realize it's a stupid question, but how are you?
Fucked in the head. You?
I sip my plastic wine, and she motions for the cup, and she's underage. But she saw a dead body for the first time in her life. Been there. So I give her my plastic chalice, and she gulps it all down. Too much. Too fast.
Are your parents alive?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
What did they do to you that was so shitty that you don't know?
They ignored me. She nods.
Fuck 'em.
Nah, I say, good Joe, compassionate Joe. I used to feel that way. But you get older, you realize that you don't really hate anyone, even your shitty parents, because everyone's just doing the best they can. She coughs. Still not good at working that bong. Still doesn't have any friends. I counted two teenagers inside, and one was here with her parents, and the other was here for the wine.
That's deep, Joe.
Not really, I say. The last thing I want is for your meerkat to feel that on today, the second worst day of her life, she has to be polite and grateful. See, Mary Kay, I wish you could see me right now. I am Jack Nicholson at the end of terms of endearment. I am stepping up with your kid, and I am ready to be a stepfather. I am here to help. She puts her bong in an empty planter, and she yawns. And her arms are outstretched above her head, and she bursts out laughing. I don't laugh with her, and I don't judge her, and soon she's doubled over.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
I tell her it's okay to do that. It's okay to do anything right now. She rolls her eyes and snorts.
Yeah, right.
I mean it, Nomi. It's hard to lose someone. Your mother knows that. We hear footsteps, and the door opens. Shortus.
Oh, he says. So this is where the party's at.
It was his way of trying to ease the tension. Fucking idiot is scared of real emotions. And Nomi doesn't laugh at the joke, and he throws his arms around her.
I'm so sorry, Nomi. I just know that he loved you more than anything on the planet.
Except for heroin. The sound of his own voice, a woman's mouth wrapped around his fill stick, and his music, but that's funerals for you. They bring out the stupid in everyone, especially the stupid. Nomi pats him on the back.
Thank you, Uncle Seamus.
And he pulls away the way he should, because he's not really her fucking uncle, and the girl needs her space.
Tell you what, he says. When my mom died, everyone was like, watch TV, binge, relax. But none of that worked for me.
Because you have no attention span, you lightweight.
What did help me was endorphins.
That's the second time he's used that word in 20 minutes, and he will never get married, will he?
Thanks,
she says.
I'll remember that.
He takes a deep breath and looks up at the trees.
I'm going to go do a Murph in honor of your old man, he says. I know he'd like that.
Phil was a lazy fuck who never broke a sweat deliberately, and he would not like that at all. I smile. That's so nice, Seamus. Seriously. The second he's gone, it's like he was never there, and the meerkat goes right back to where we were.
Do you really think I can do anything I want right now?
Yep.
And my mom won't be pissed?
Nope.
Well, in that case, will you tell her I went to Seattle?
I never offered to be her accomplice, but she's wearing a Sacrifil t-shirt, and her Columbine is poking out of her backpack, and it's one thing to have a birthday party and have no kids show up, but this is her father's funeral, and she has no one in there. I know that feeling. When someone you loved, in spite of their imperfections, is dead and no one in the world seems to care about what that's like for you. Do me a favor, Nomi. The bong stays here. She salutes me like JFK Jr. at his father's funeral and takes off through the backyard to the trail. Inside, the guys from Sacrifil have picked up their instruments. I knew it was only a matter of time before we had an unplugged, fill-less jam session, and there is an acoustic shark inside my shark, and I have a purpose now. I have to find you. I worm my way around the room, skirting my fecal-eyed multi-generational neighbors, and for you, this is a sad room, but for me, this is a hot zone. Mrs. Kahlua is here, and this cannot, will not, must not be Jay's coming-out party. I cut through the kitchen, but I'm fucked here, too. The young woman who warned me about Phil is standing in front of your refrigerator. The door is blocking her face. Thank you, door, but I recognize her hand. 2 diamond engagement rings. She's having small talk with a court-ordered older alky I've seen at Isla, and I am trapped, and the guest bathroom door opens, and I slip into that bathroom again. I close the door. Safe. Someone knocks on the door.
If it's yellow, let it mellow. The pipes are taking a beating.
I run the faucet and eavesdrop on the NA people whispering about how long they have to stay. Go now. Go. And they are going. Yes. And I flush the toilet. Oops. And I exit the bathroom and here you are, in your kitchen. Surrounded by second- and third-tier Melandas. I clear my throat. Mary Kay, I say.
You got a second?
You're mad at me, but it's not like I walked up to you and kissed you, and there is no way to put the toothpaste back in the fucking tube. We did go to Fort Ward, and you did mount me in a bunker, twice, and Dr. Nikki's blog is right. I have feelings, too, and I am allowed to have feelings. You excuse yourself, and my palms are sweating. What I say now matters, and is it possible to say the right thing when you're not yourself? You open the side door, and now it's you and me by the planter, and you light one of the rat's cigarettes and blow a smoke ring, and who knew you could do that?
I don't want to do this right now, Joe. I can't do this right now.
I know.
You don't know, Joe. You don't know what this is like for me.
I know. You look at me, validated, and then you blow smoke in a poisonous straight line.
I had no business turning off my phone. I have a child.
Let it out. You grit your teeth because it would be so much easier on you if I was being an asshole right now, but I'm not going to do that for you.
All we had to do was wait. You don't know, Phil.
Yes, I do.
You don't know that we had something of a deal. I looked out for him, and he...
did nothing for you but drag you down.
He needed me. I knew he was down, and there I was off running around with some fucking guy I barely know behind his back while my own husband was dying inside.
That was cruel, but I am strong.
And you must feel horrible about that.
Well, I feel like the biggest piece of shit that ever lived. He deserved better from me.
And you deserved better from him, but this is the other thing I hate about funerals, about wakes. We don't get to blame the death day boy. He's like a bridezilla. It's his day, and he gets to whine and cunt out about every stupid thing in the world. What can I do to help? You flick the cigarette on your own lawn and shrug.
Nothing,
you say, your voice flattened by Klonopin and semi-Melandas and all the pressure of hosting people in your home while you just die underneath.
There's nothing anyone can do or say to bring him back, and honestly, that's all I want. Anything you do is a waste. Anything you say is a waste. Right now, all I want in this world is the one thing I can't have. One more day with Phil to tell him that I know he's hiding heroin in his nightstand, under his amp, to take all of it and flush it down the toilet and force him into a car, into a rehab clinic so that my kid doesn't have to go the rest of her life without a father, so that she doesn't have to go through the rest of her life being the one who found him. I'm a big girl. I know that I can't have that. But that's where I am right now.
You don't touch me. You don't make eye contact. You are a zombie with a second set of teeth, and they're his teeth. Constant proof that he was alive, and I will be patient. I've been there, Mary Kay. I know what it's like to lose someone who was bad for you. I know you're bleeding inside. That pain you're in gives you no right to hurt me, but I won't make this about me. Unlike your dead rat, I am a strong man. A good man who's able to put you first and respect the reality that his death is harder for you than it is for me. But you're a widow now. You're anointed with a new title, and I, too, could kill that fucking rat for what he did to us. His guys finish playing the one and only true hit song that Phil ever wrote, and the clapping is loud, too loud. You start crying and shutting the slider behind you, leaving me on your deck alone. And if you had any intention of a future with me, you wouldn't have closed that door.
Chapter 32. I went home. I pigged out. I played some Prince. I played some Sinead. And I was bracing myself for 7 hours and 15 days without a word from you. But I was wrong. In the best way possible. You called me last night at 1:13 a.m. And you cried. And I let you cry. And soon you were talking about Phil's parents.
They always treated me like I wasn't good enough, and they think it's my fault.
And then you were crying again.
It's all my fault.
And then you were angry.
How could he do this to know me?
And then you were guilty.
I should have been there for him. I should have known this was too much.
I was so good to you, Mary Kay. I encouraged you to let it out, and you fell asleep, and I did not end the call. I stayed up all night until you were coughing.
Joe?
You said. Morning.
You're still here.
Of course I am. You said it was the kindest thing anyone ever did for you. Fuck that stupid grassy dollhouse roof, and it's been almost 2 weeks. You're in mourning, still guilt-ridden, and I get it. Your separation was a secret, and it's complicated, but you texted me that you forgot to buy toilet paper. It's always something. And I went to the store and bought you toilet paper, and you're tearing the plastic.
Huh.
What?
This is the right kind.
I know, because I've spent a lot of time in your house, and I shrug. It's the best kind, so of course it's your kind. I make a note in my head. Buy Mary Kay's overpriced toilet paper before she comes to my house, and then the sliding door opens, and it's Shortus, who somehow become my unworthy rival in this irritating episode of our Cedar Cove life. He cracks his knuckles, and he cracks his back, and sighs. Your gutters are officially clean, MK. You're a grieving widow, and obliged to your friends.
Thank you, Seamus. You're a godsend.
And you rummage around the refrigerator.
Okay, boys,
you say, as if I am your son and Shortus is a friend I brought home from school.
Who's hungry?
He plops into a chair, and he is not a man. He is a fourth-grade boy. I burned a lot of calories out there, MK. I can eat. I wish he would go away. He's different since R.I.P. Phil died. It's like one of those fucking reality shows where the loser thinks he has a shot because the guy in the lead pulled a muscle and backed out of the race. Shortus is actively competing with me to be the man of this house, and that's not what I'm doing. I love you. I miss being inside of you, and I am your boyfriend, but he's a lonely cross-bore, a real patriarchal sexist who acts like you need us menfolk, and what bullshit, Mary Kay. You don't need men. You need me. I pull the North Water out of my bag and set it on the table. Almost forgot, I say to you, not him. This is that book I was telling you about. In other words, get out, Shortus. And he huffs.
Geez, Joe, I don't think the woman can read right now. We're still reeling, you know?
He didn't even like your husband, but I can't fight with him because he's your friend. And if he wasn't here, we would be talking about Ian McGuire. But he is here, so you just smile at the book.
Thanks, Joe.
And then you're on your feet, dealing with the casserole. This is a critical time for us. You're processing so many emotions, and we need to get closer, and I'm not stupid, Mary Kay. I know you want a buffer. That's why you let Shortus come over and have an open-door policy for the semi-Melandas who pop by with casseroles. No one likes that shit when they're alive. Why would they want it after someone died? And Shortus jumps up and pulls a chair out for you.
Young lady, I insist that you take a load off and sit.
He is the patriarchy, and I want to smash him. And where is R.I.P. Melanda when you need her? You don't want to sit. You shove a lasagna onto his plate, and he passes the plate to me.
That's way too much for me, M.K. Let's give this to the bookworm. See if he can't get some meat on those bones.
You like my body just the way it is. And Nomi hesitates in the hallway.
What's that smell? Casserole, you say. You want some?
She groans.
I'm going to Seattle.
Nomi?
I want to see Uncle Don and Aunt Peg.
I met Don and Peg at the wake. They're Nomi's surrogate ex-hippie grandparents, and they own a guitar store, and you told me about them the day we walked to the diner. The day you almost told me about Phil. You pick at your lip.
But honey, you've been over there a lot.
Nomi is unmoved.
So? So maybe you could hang out here with us?
Nomi grabs at the straps on her backpack.
Are they sick of me or something? Nomi, no. I just think it might be nice for you to be at home a little more.
Mom, she says, and we're all thinking the same thing right now, that the rat died in this house. That Nomi found the rat. You hug your meerkat, and Shortus scoops a heap of lasagna that's actually bigger than my portion, and you walk Nomi to the door, and he chews on the lasagna with his mouth wide open, like a bachelor, like a pig, and you'll never know that he ate more than me, and now you're outside. There's another fucking friend popping by, and I don't blame Nomi for jumping on that ferry every day. You come back glum. Holding a cheesecake.
MK, Seamus says, do you do that tracking thing on E's phone?
You dig into the cheesecake, right into the center. We haven't had sex since Fort Ward, and you're going crazy too.
Huh?
You know, he says, just so you can know where she is.
You dig your fork into the cheesecake, and that's my girl.
I don't stalk my daughter, Seamus, if that's what you mean.
Well, you can never be too careful. Do you know what she's up to? Do you even know that she's in Seattle?
Do it, Shortus. Piss her off with your father-knows-best passive aggression. You are seething.
Honestly, Seamus, if there's one thing we did right, it's Nomi. She's always liked to get away and spend a night or two with Peggy and Don.
He runs his paws over his Cooley Hardware shirt and adjusts his Cooley Hardware hat, and how was I ever friends with this guy?
I'm just trying to help, MK. My shop's covered. I got a workout in this morning, so it's no skin off my back if you want me to see where she's at.
You just lost your husband, and he makes it all about him, as if he's the saint, and you pat his arm.
I appreciate it, but we're fine.
I might spit up my lasagna, and he pats your arm back. I know you are, MK.
Honestly, I don't blame her for getting away. It's been like Grand Central in here, and the memories...
And it really is Grand fucking Central, because there's a dog barking and another intruder. You jump out of your chair to greet the latest friend, and lo and behold, it's the fecal-eyed monster mommy. Finally, we are properly introduced, and her hand is a dead fish, and her yellow lab still loves me. And see that, Mary Kay? Dogs know good people. Fecal-eyed Nancy is fresh from a hike, and she can't stay long, and you offer her cheesecake, and she makes a face, as if you have cooties, as if the widow doesn't have a right to stick a fork in her own cheesecake. Fecal-eyes repeats herself,
"We just popped by, I can't stay."
And you clear a chair for her, and she sits.
Should I ask, or should I leave it alone?
The dog rests her head on my lap. I pet her, and you sigh.
I haven't heard from her,
you say.
But like I told you, we had a falling out.
Shortest turns his Coolie Hardware hat backwards.
Oh, man, he says. I didn't know how to tell ya.
All eyes on Shortest, just like he wants, except for the dog, who only has eyes for me. You sip your coffee.
Just say it. Have you talked to her?
Yes, he says. Melinda called me a few days ago.
Fecal eyes box, and you balk too, and no, she fucking didn't. She's dead. There are rumors about her because this is an island, and even at the wake, I heard a couple people whispering that Melinda had an affair with a student, but I don't care about that. Melinda is dead, and dead women don't talk on the phone. Alas, Seamus wants attention. He wants to feel special, and pretending to be a conduit to your friend Melinda is one way to get it. Fecal Eyes picks at the cheesecake, and this is what she came for, gossip.
Unbelievable.
Shortest scratches the logo on his shirt. She asked me to tell you and Nomi that she sends her love. You snort and do a good impression of her.
How nice.
I know, he says. She would have come back, but you know how it is. Everyone's talking about her inappropriate behavior with that kid at school. She didn't want to steal the spotlight.
Fecal Eyes picks up your fork, not afraid of cooties anymore.
So it is true. That woman slept with a student. I knew it, and I'm sorry, but I can't really say I'm surprised.
Thank God for the fecal-eyed dog, or I might throw the cheesecake at the fucking wall. Finally, Fecal Eyes is on the move.
You guys, I just have so much to do.
And Shortest looks at his phone and lets out a big sigh.
Rats, he says. Actually, I can't go to Seattle even if you wanted me to go. The girls need me at the store.
I almost feel bad for him as you shove him out the door, the way he had to refer to his staff as the girls. It would be awful to be so intimidated by women, so insecure that you have to make up gossip. He can't even look me in the eye. He just waves.
Maybe a beer later?
And I nod, and he manipulates you into one more,
thank you,
as you give him a casserole to take back to the shop, as if he shouldn't be the one thanking you. And then he's gone. You lock the door and come back to the table.
He means well,
you say.
But he's doing a 5K for Phil, and he put up the banner. Did you see it?
Yes.
No.
Hang on,
you say. You pick up your phone and dial. You bite your lips as it rings, and then your shoulders drop.
Oh, Peg, I'm glad I caught you. Nomi's on her way there. Oh, she is? Oh, good. Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys. I know, but I still want to thank you. Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Peg. Bless you, Peg.
I care, and I ask the right question. Nomi get there okay? You nod.
She called them from the ferry.
Your mom duties are fulfilled, and right now, you just want to bitch about Shortus.
So that banner, Seamus plastered the Narcotics Anonymous logo on it in this great big can't-miss-it font, and it really rubs me the wrong way, as if that was all there was to fill. And Nancy...
Fecal eyes.
She means well, but her in-laws do everything for her, and Phil's parents... They haven't even called since they went back to Florida. Tell me to stop.
No, let it out. You sip your coffee.
I don't want to trash everyone I know. It's not them. It really isn't. I'm not even mad that Melinda didn't call or anything. When it's over, it's over.
You sigh.
I think I'm just peopled out.
My heart is racing, and it's just the two of us, and I throw out my line to you, my bait. Look, I get the whole peopled out thing, and any time you want me to leave... Your eyes suckle mine. Kittens to the teat.
No,
you say.
I want you to stay.
I do what you want. I stay. But I can't make a move. You're in mourning. I have been cautious, respectful, no mention of Fort Ward, no red bed talk. I know that you did love him. I know that you did hate him. I know that permanent separation is shocking, and I know that the guilt is eating you alive, and I know you need to let it out. I stroke your hair, and I let you cry. I let you be. I do what none of your friends let you do. I support you quietly. Holy, and so you are able to cry loudly, holy, and when your phone rings, it does that too much, you see that it's your dad, and you tell me that you should probably take it, but you don't have it in you. He feels so bad about missing the funeral, but he had to miss it. He had back surgery. You send him to voicemail, and that's my cue, Mary Kay. I kiss your hand. Come on, I say. Let's go upstairs. We did it. We made love in your marriage bed, and we've been in your room for the bulk of the past 24 hours. It's been fun. You worry about my cats, and I tell you about the automatic feeders that dispense food, and you tell me how caring I am, how responsible, and this is how you heal. This is how you learn to love me out loud, without feeling guilty about it. You pull the duvet over our heads, and I am the man of your dreams, repeatedly offering to go, and you are the woman of my dreams, bringing my hand to your legs, to your Murakami. We break the laws of physics and travel through time and slip into our future, and I hold you knowing that I will hold you forever, that this is our sneak peek at forever. I kiss your foxy hair, tendrils all over my bare chest. Do you want coffee? You run your hand through my hair and sigh.
Mind reader, Joe. Truly.
R.I.P. Phil never did nice things for you. No breakfast in bed, not even a fucking cup of coffee. But then you glance at one of his trash bags and you're crying again. Guilty.
I'm the worst woman in the world. If anyone knew you were here. We can't jump into this. You know you can't be here when Nomi gets back.
I know. I kiss your head, the most patient man alive. You want me to take some of these bags down? You pull away.
Whoa, slow down there.
You pull the covers over the part of your shoulder, the skin that I just kissed.
Way, way, way too soon.
I'm sorry, I was only trying to help. You bite your lip. You won't let the past wreck our future.
I know, but right now I really just want coffee. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump all over you.
I kiss the top of your head. Don't worry about me. I put on pants and a shirt. The meerkat really could come back at any time. And bound down the stairs, and I can't fucking wait for you to get rid of this house, this albatross. You're jumpy because you're here. In your head, this house belongs to your dead husband. And I get it. Everything will be better when we get you out of this place, when my house becomes our house. I can already see us on the sofa, watching our cats preen under the Christmas lights that will be up all year, on at all hours. I love you, Mary Kay. And I open the freezer of casseroles we'll never eat because these casseroles are like Phil's trash bags, like this house. They also need to go. I find the fucking coffee, finally, and close the door and flinch. There's a man standing there, staring at me as if I'm the intruder. And did Oliver send him? His face is familiar, but he's too old to be Oliver's brother, and he's wearing a Rolex, so he's not a cop. He breaks the silence. Who the fuck are you? I turn that shit around. Who the fuck are you? And how did you get in here? He clocks the sink full of dirty dishes. I'm Phil's brother. I have a key, he says, blithe, cold. And I guess you do too. Huh? Chapter 33. This no-show, middling life coach starts washing your dishes like he owns this place. Like casserole dishes don't need to soak, and he's a straight-laced version of Phil, and I want him gone. We don't need this right now. And I hear you upstairs. You're scrambling into your clothes and washing your face, and now you bound down the stairs. You smell of soap. You washed me off. Ivan, you say, breezing right by me, putting your arms around Phil Part 2. You're here. You should hate him. He skipped the fucking funeral, but you don't hate him. You're obsequious. You thank him for doing the dishes as if they aren't still scabbed, and you fawn on him for pouring dish soap into the compartment in the scrub brush, oh please, and you treat him like a human gadget, like he's Mr. Fucking Fix-It. We have the iPhone, the iPad, and now we have the motherfuckering I-Man. Yes, your brother-in-law Ivan is a textbook Ivan, entitled, arrogant, starched on the bottom and wrinkled t-shirt on top. And he's the missing piece of the puzzle. The shark inside Phil's shark. Better nose, smarter, colder. He's only Phil's half-brother. They share a mother. And we should be talking about Phil. But it takes 11 seconds or so for Ivan to announce that he's been taking things to the next level with his life coaching business. It sounds like bullshit. And you're busy doting on him, so I Google him, and yes. Okay, Ivan's getting some press, and he's trending. That word needs to die. But anyone can see that his entire career is driven by his desire to be a rock star like his brother. Can you stop salivating over this fucker and remember the facts? He showed up after your husband's funeral. What a monster. And a life coach should have compassion. Not to mention a fucking shirt with some buttons. But look at you, still being so nice to him. The two of you are catching up, and I'm in a chair in the corner of your kitchen reading about Ivan, and the mental health situation in the separated states of America is bad because of people like him. He followed up his BA with a PhD. He's a doctor, but he couldn't save a life on a plane. And he made his fortune by greasing the wheels for big bad pharma. And what does he do with all that extra money? Does he start a nonprofit? Does he build an incubator to ensure that the future is female? Nope. He builds a website. Well, he pays someone to build it and declares himself a life coach. I watch a short closed-captioned video of him presenting his philosophy.